act so insulted. You know she's smart to the truth. You can't stop the lies once they're started. Kiss her and keep it true. Who cares? Your face got the boot print. So high the price of delight. She's gonna give you the rainbow. Kiss her and make it right. Kiss her and make it right. So go and ruin your good thing. Go on, you won't get a fight. But I swear if I weren't your friend, I'd kiss her.
Yeah, 88.7, The Voice, and the Willie Wisely Trio with Kiss Her and Make It Right off the True album. And I've got Willie Wisely in studio with me. Willie, how's it going?
Hi, David. Thank you. Very good. I'm a little creaky today.
But, a little creaky, yeah. You told me you've been running, but farther than you really needed to, something like that.
Well, not enough sleep. An exciting show last night with the Corner Laughers in Berkeley. And,
nice.
And the Bye Bye Blackbirds, too. And so I couldn't sleep. I was too excited. And then I woke up and did that guilty exercise thing where it's like, you know, this, you know, particularly being a dad and there's no time to ever indulge in exercise at home.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
So not only did I run up Berkeley Hills, but then I also ran too far away from where I was staying.
Yeah, you know, it's you have to really figure out where your halfway point's going to be because, hey, I'm just going. It feels really good. Uh-oh. that's it.
Yep. You always feel really great till, you know, yeah, halfway, and then and then it's too late.
So you're traveling a little bit with the Corner Laughers, but you are based in Los Angeles?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, and I hear you're from the Midwest. One of our other DJs here at The Voice, Paul Heffey's been a huge fan of yours from when he was living in the Midwest, and he knows you from back in those days.
Yeah, we toured in Wisconsin a lot, which I think is where he was from.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many hundreds of gigs ago, but yeah, I think I remember meeting him. But nonetheless, we toured a lot in the as early as 1989 throughout the Midwest, and we were based in Minneapolis.
Okay, so you've been at this a while. The Willie Wisely Trio.
That's putting it nicely, yes.
By the way, that reminds me of something. Talking about aging, and I know I'm the oldest person in this room, but I got to wish you a happy birthday, and you and Charlie of the Corner Laughers have the exact same birthday. How cool is this?
Yes. I love it, because I have not met more than four or five people in my life who have shared my birthday, so that's kind of fun.
You know, the things I learn on Facebook, you know, I learn everything I need to know off of Facebook, which is kind of a scary thing at times. Other times, like right now, it comes in really handy. So anyway, yeah, so you've been at it for a while. How many members are there in the Willie Wisely Trio? I know that sounds like a dumb question, but I know there's a really good answer to this.
Yeah, no, there's always been four. Yeah. And it was because we had a trio, and we were playing around, and about 6 months into the band, we played at this little jazz club in Minneapolis, the owner was a trombonist, and he was a renowned drunk, and
good to be known for something.
No, that's hyperbole. No, he loved to drink, and he walked on stage with us with the trombone and just started playing.
Wow.
And it sounded really good because he had this sort of punk rock devil may care attitude toward it. It wasn't jazzy, it was just sort of righteous. It was like a lead guitar, except it was a trombone.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And he took an approach that was irreverent, and he was often how would you say, rowdy or even violent on stage. And he once threw a microphone stand into the crowd, and ruined our reputation with a certain radio station. And it was very punko rocko. Anyway, we never changed the name because the first tapes had already come out as Willie Wisely Trio, and I wasn't going to blow it to quartet. And so
I like the idea, though. And you had some prominent trombone in Kiss or Make It right there.
Yes. In fact, we had to, Greg had to relearn how to play it because the trio broke up in like 93, 94. He hadn't played very much because he went on to you know, be all in charge of creative at a big ad agency and have two girls and get married and move to Madison and blah, blah, blah. And he had to totally relearn to play for these sessions, which he did. And the gigs that we've played since, we tend to do a lot of gigs in the summer, reunite every summer.
Oh, cool.
And for the last 3 years. And he's been great getting back in shape.
So do you, when you play in the summer, do you go to the Midwest? Do you play here on the West Coast, or how does that work?
I have not brought the trio out West yet. We were a popular Midwest attraction. We toured the coast a couple times, but you know, those were difficult tours, and we just never broke through. And you know, probably just because we were always kind of self-managed and, you know.
Yeah, and that amuses me, that name, because it makes me think of the Ben Folds Five, and I think they are a trio, so...
Right. Yes.
So there you go. And this album has been out for about a year. I'm a little bit late to the bandwagon here, but I love it. You emailed me this thing. It's just phenomenal. I could see why Adam Waltzmeyer and so many others really like it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I found your show and we hooked up on Facebook because you have great taste in music, and I'm flattered that you're playing it.
Well, so. Well, thanks. Now, is this your first time to Sacramento?
I've played in Davis, and I've played in Sacramento. What's the place that Jerry runs?
The old Iron Club.
Old Ironsides,
yeah.
Okay.
Played there with the Brodies, who were a phenomenal group, and had a wild night there. Just a wild, drunken night, and I actually had no place on that big rock and roll bill, but it worked, you know?
I love that.
Such a fun room.
Yeah, you know...
I played here with... I was in the Anna Warnker band for a while, you know, Anna from That Dog.
Okay.
Remember That Dog from maybe the 90s, mid-90s?
The name's kind of familiar. Anna Warnker name for sure is familiar.
Yeah. Well, her dad is Lenny Warnker of Warner Brothers Records fame, and Joey Warnker is her brother, and he plays with R.E.M. and... on down.
Okay, so, okay.
Well, and played.
Yeah. And when you say Wild Drunken Night, Old Ironsides, I think that place is kind of known for that.
Yeah.
You should come out for the Halloween party. It's like, you know, they play dead rock star tributes, so every band gets out and plays three songs by famous dead rock stars, but people dress up in pretty wild costumes. It's not quite as wild as, say, the Beta Breakers run in the Bay Area in San Francisco, where people can dress... I've seen people dress in costumes that range from anything from like a full tiki bar to naked, you know. So it's not quite that wild at Old Ironsides, but it's kind of like the same mindset on Halloween anyway. So,
cool.
Yeah, Sacramento is pretty cool at times. So you are armed with a guitar here, and I am just loving this. What are you going to do for us here?
I have to do a song that's going to work with creakiness.
okay, we can do voice.
So this, I'm going to play this. This song is off Parador, which is actually like my 2006 CD. So, and it's called Erase Me. Don't drop by. I'll be wasted. And now getting mean, you don't want to see that again. You carved a number on the arm of my imagination. So I was too quick to rip out a page of history. But it's a little sick the way you tore me to confetti. There's nothing I can do now, gonna burn all we created. Oh, but you can't erase me. Songs of love fall on deaf ears wasted. You might think you found my replacement, but you can't erase. These four thin walls keep me deep in isolation. They watch me bleed while you're out walking some new best friend. I'll die laughing in the hall outside his coronation. But you can't erase me. Songs of love fall on deaf ears wasted. You might think you found my replacement, but you can't erase me. You can't erase me. You can't erase me.
Right, thanks. Willie Wisely, very good.
Thank you.
Is that an older song or a more recent song?
Let's see. Well, yeah, like 2005 I wrote it, and 2006 it came out or so on Parador was the record.
Okay, very good. And it sounded good. Not only do you sound good, but you're using a special purple microphone cable. I know that aids in the sound fidelity here. Yes.
Yeah, I should have sounded more like Prince in that case.
There you go. So... So what does a typical Willie Wisely gig sound like?
Most of my shows, I got into the habit of doing a lot of house concerts in the 2000s because it became clear that one cannot make any money at the clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And if I was going to stay out on tour and have babies at home and a wife, and, you know, it needed to be productive. And,
yes.
So I reached out to my fan base. I was collecting – I've been collecting email addresses since, like, 1993.
Wow.
You know, I met my first coterie of people who were like, you know –
you should reach us by email. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Early adopters, yes. Us pocket protector people.
Yeah. And so I've just been able to stay in touch with people, and that allowed me to establish sort of a network of house concerts, of which I might have played 50 or 60 in a year.
Wow.
And the question's now escaping me, but I so what happened is I got myself off of the needing a band behind me drug.
Oh, okay,
and,
okay.
Just started to locate an orchestra in the guitar, or at least just be satisfied with what came out of an acoustic guitar, because I'm driving all over heck and alone, and sometimes there's airplanes, and you just got to be portable.
Yeah, I could see that. So you're one man show, yeah. And will you be playing stuff off of the new True album tonight at Bows and Arrows?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and also the Willie Wisely Trio, we do get together. We tend to get together in summers because I'm more able to go back to the Twin Cities and hang out for a period of time, and we'll rev that up. And, you know, last year we played in a bunch of cities around the Twin Cities, including Milwaukee and stuff, and we'll do that again. That's our stomping ground. We were honestly a regional band.
Gotcha. You know, so. Gotcha. But, you know, with the internet and word of mouth now, I mean, I know people like, for instance, Adam in Florida, that's a big fan. I mean, it's just amazing. You don't have to remain a original band anymore.
No, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I'm loving that. I'm really curious to hear how some of the treatments go, because a lot of the songs on True are very bouncy and obviously, you know, trombone pieces. It'll be interesting to see how those translate to acoustic guitar tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote them on acoustic guitar and then exploded. Something I've learned about my process is that I write the song, and that takes X amount of hours, but then arranging the song takes X times four. I put all my love into arrangements and parsing out how the parts should go together, but it always starts with the acoustic guitar, so it's never a translation problem. It might even be better than the record. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, that I've got to hear, because it's a pretty good record. Who would you count among your musical influences? Who shaped your sound?
McCartney and Donovan.
Okay.
Are the two primary people, but then my parents were always rattling through James Taylor and Simon and Garfunkel, so those are the obvious ones. But then in terms of just the music that I love that just sparks me, it leans more towards the Zombies and then also in the other direction towards David Bowie and Led Zeppelin. And I don't have a lot of obscure people. I'm not an Alex Chilton fan, for instance. Like, if you ask me about Alex Chilton, I'm like, I don't hear it. I hear things that are sloppy and kind of junky and too long. And you know, he's not the Beatles. Sometimes I think I got to be blunt. I think I think the Beatles and a lot of those bands that I just named, like, they nailed it. And you can't improve upon it. And a lot of us are, I make enemies when I say this stuff, but then we spend the rest of our lives trying to find bands that, you know, just something new, anything new. Give it, you know, new becomes great. Equally is great. And it's not. So I argue that, you know, the world is over.
There you go. And I'm going to throw in one influence. I don't know if it's really an influence, but just the very opening moments of the True album, you know, Kiss Her and Make Her Right, the song that we heard, vocally, right when you're starting out, your voice reminds me of Nick Lowe on that song for some reason. Have anybody ever said that?
He's so good. His last three, four albums have been masterpieces.
Wow.
He's laying down such a grand old man thing of song, and the covers that he's integrating into his originals, and the things that he's saying and the profundity he's finding in lyric are just, his career is so enviable. And the last four songs, the last four albums, there's just not a dud song on there, in terms of just the gravity of what he's saying and playing and the sparseness of the group. And he's locked in with players that are unbelievable. Next to the Corner Laughers, he's one of my favorites. So I've been eyeballing him more and more as the years go on. And certainly, of course, the big hit in the 70s.
Oh, Cruel to Be Kind.
Yeah, Cruel to Be Kind. I remember, I have a distinct memory of that coming on the radio and going, what? was that? And what?
Yep, me
you know,
too.
And that was like FM radio, and then they never played it again. And it was only like, you know, 10 years later where I heard it again and was blown away and realized it was Nick and his pedigree as a punk rock guy, you know.
And I walked into a little bit late. I was living in L.A. back in the 80s. That's where I'm from originally. And a buddy of mine and I went to go see Elvis Costello and Nick Lowe's opening for him at the Universal Amphitheater. Wow. Amphitheater. And I walked in a little bit late, so the first sound I hear is stick it where the sun don't shine. And I just thought, this is awesome. I don't care what the rest of the song or the show sounds like. Just a guy that would sing this on stage, you know, to me, you know, so I went and got that album and every other album he had. That would just blew me away. You know, a guy could write that. So I'm here with Willie Wisely of the Willie Wisely Trio. You're going to perform at Bows and Arrows tonight. Do you want to do another song first? Do you want me to play something off the album? What's your pleasure?
Why don't you play something off the album?
Okay. What sounds good to you?
Well, people, let's see, they do like National Council.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, I actually like real, not the 26-minute song. Oh, speaking of short songs, the Corner Laughers were talking about short songs and The Guide of My Voices, which is all true. That doesn't explain why there's a 26-minute song on the end of my record. But
your song is like 26 minutes and 25 seconds. My segments on this show are 26:40, so I could intro your song and then walk away and take a break. I could do this. One of these days I'm tempted to do it.
But the song right before it is a reasonable length, but it's this ballad and it's kind of depressing. And, you know, you were on a pop radio show, so maybe, you know, a poppin' radio show.
Maybe we should do National Council of Jewish Women's Thrift Store. That one just cracks me the heck up.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's appropriate for
Bozos. Do National Council. It was co-written with Andy Dick, the comedian.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
That shines some relevant light on it.
Awesome. Here we go. Willie Wisely. Listen to the lyrics on this one, folks, and make sure you get that T-shirt.
The National Council of Jewish Women's Thrift Store. That's where I go to purchase all my clothes. I need some pants. These are nice, a little tied in the rear. How about a t-shirt that says I'm here? I am here. I am here. The National Council of Jewish Women's Thrift Store. That's where I go to purchase all my stuff. Like this macrame basket or an old chandelier. But I still need a t-shirt that says I'm here. I am here. Yep, still here. My bucks stop here. The National Council of Jewish Women's Thrift Store. That's where I go to purchase all this junk. Like this stein from Hamburg, but I supposedly gave up beer. And I still want that t-shirt that says I'm here. Not I'm queer. Just here.
All right, Willie Wisely and the National Council of Jewish Women's T-Shirt Thrift Store. I'm thinking about those T-shirts. We're just talking about our Sweat Hogs T-shirts. And, wow, how do you write a song like that? That's just amazing.
Yeah, no, wait, we Andy and I were in a car, and we drove past the National Council of Jewish Women's thrift store. There's about umpteen of them in L.A.
Okay.
The National Council of Jewish Women is a big charitable organization. Mm-hmm. They do millions of dollars of goodness, and so they have these stores. And we drove past, and it's like we looked at each other and like, what's up with that crazy name, and how come neither of us have ever been in there? And yeah, so we got to writing and realized that it needed to be a song about the t-shirts.
That's cool.
Of our youths.
And I want to get a t-shirt. You told me that you actually have these t-shirts available that say I am here.
Oh yeah, thanks for thinking of that. They yeah, they say I am here, and they're really artistic, and they're beautiful. They're on this beautiful green soft chemise kind of cloth or whatever. But so yes, the kids can rip into those, baby, at the show.
Yeah.
I'll have
them
at the show tonight.
Awesome, awesome. And where can my listeners find out more about your music and purchase some of your music?
Well, two things. My main website is evocativepop.com.
Okay.
Or wiselymusic.com, whatever. It all leads to the same place, wiselymusic.com. And but wisely's hard to spell, so evocative pop. There, you can't go wrong. If you know English. And then, but the thing I really want to tell people about is that on Bandcamp right now, my last three albums are posted, and you can download them all for free if you want.
Oh, wow.
It's just a special I'm running to just get my music, you know, populating the universe. And, I mean, you can pay what you want and go ahead and do so, but I wanted to just kind of...
Wow.
Give a gift to the universe.
Well, that's awfully nice of you. And, you know, the music is so good. People take him up on this now and drop a few bucks in his virtual till. You know, he's deserving of it. He needs gas money to get back to LA.
Oh, I suppose I should say it's at Bandcamp. So go to Bandcamp, type in Willie Wisely, and it's all three albums. You'll see them.
W-I-S-E-L-Y, like the adverb.
Like the dictionary, yep.
All right. See, that's not that hard. I mean, some people might have more problems with evocative, so I think either way we're covered, right?
Yeah.
So tonight, Bows and Arrows, we've got Willie Wisely and the Corner Laughers. I'll ask you this question. We have like 30 seconds left. I've asked the Corner Laughers in the past, what's your favorite food? I have to ask you.
Bagels.
Okay.
Bagels.
Sounds good. Bagels. And I think I remember Carla likes sandwiches. I don't know if I ever asked Casey what he likes, but we'll maybe get to that if they stick around a little bit longer.
We voted Indian food.
Ah, oh, nice. Nice.
You know, I'll...
Dosas, so South Indian.
That awesome. Really good, I will tell you about a couple Indian restaurants off the air. Twirl Radio.